Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies, Convert Your Speaker. Today on the broadcast, we come to the end of our series on seven things in the Scriptures that are better than sacrifices. And we wish to climax this study with a portion of Scripture found in the 12th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Mark. If you have your Bibles near at hand, you might wish to turn to us to this 12th chapter of Mark. Beginning at verse 28, we read, "And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well," that is, the Sadducees, we'll speak more of this later, "asked him, 'What is the first commandment of all?' And Jesus answered him, 'The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these.' And the scribe said unto him, 'Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices.' And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, 'Thou art not far from the kingdom of God.' And no man after that durst ask him any question. This man was correct, and the Lord put his stamp of approval on what he said. When Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, 'Thou art not far from the kingdom of God.'" Now, he'd given the right answer. That is, he recognized that the Lord had given him the right answer, I should say, because of these commandments contained in Deuteronomy, the two commandments summing up the whole Ten Commandments. If you love your neighbor, you won't need to be told, "Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not bear false witness." You don't need those things. If you love your neighbor as yourself, the summation of the commandments is perfect love toward God and perfect love toward man. Now let's get the setting for this, and we're going to entitle this today, Loving God and Our Neighbor. One of the scribes came. Now, there was a group, but they had this scribe. The group was composed of Pharisees, but they had this scribe as their spokesman, and he was the expert in the law, and so they used him, and they were there to trip up the Lord Jesus. The subtlety of this question was, which is the great commandment of all? Now, they were listening very carefully. If the Lord were to put one commandment above all others, then that relegated the others to a lesser position, and they could quote him. And that was what they were trying to do. But the Lord gives them the commandment as it was given in Deuteronomy. They had to accept it. It was in their scriptures. He quoted just exactly what was written in the book of Deuteronomy. How could they deny it? But this scribe got to thinking about what the Lord had said. And when the Lord just came right out with the answer, Jesus answered, "First of all, the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is namely, this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these," because these two commandments just gather the whole Ten Commandments together. It does not put down one lower than the other. It just groups them together, perfect love toward God and perfect love toward man. Now, the fact that this man said, or the Lord said, "Thou art not far from the kingdom," can be readily understood when the Lord realized that he realized that keeping the law, or that is, that love, loving our neighbor as ourselves, and loving God is greater than all burnt offering and sacrifices. And after all, that's the theme of this series. The seven things in the scripture that are better than sacrifice. And he says to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Now, wherein he failed was this. He recognized the principle, but it was not a part of his actual faith. It was not his commitment. You see, he had not exercised faith yet. That's why he was so near the kingdom and yet outside the door. He knew how to get in, but it was his conviction. That's the question. Had he committed himself to love toward God? Now we can ask ourselves some very fair questions when we consider this subject, this topic that we have before us this morning. How can I love God whom I have never seen? You know, love is not pumped up. You don't pump up love like you would a tire or a balloon. Now, some people, some zealous people who take these commandments so serious about loving the Lord, they try to love him. But you know, love cannot be commanded. Love cannot be worked up. Love must be spontaneous. It must come from the heart. But someone says, how can I have that experience? How can I really have that experience? Well, I'll tell you, John gives us the formula in his epistle. In the first epistle of John, and we've read these words before, and you've heard them on this broadcast before. Fourth chapter of 1 John, John's first epistle, chapter 4, and verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God. Have you been trying to love him? Well, this says you don't. You can't pump it up. Herein is love, not that we loved God. That isn't the important thing, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And when we see the love of God, you know, love begets love. And when we see the love of God in giving his dear Son to die on that cruel gibbet of shame, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, die in unspeakable agony, dying for your sins, dying for my sins. God gave him. God thought so much of you and me and of our souls that he gave his Son. But of course, again, he raised him from the dead. He didn't lose him. He gave him, but he got him back. Yes, but he suffered. He suffered untold agony. He suffered an eternity of suffering, all crowded into those 6 hours on that cross. Now, here we have it, but that he loved us. That's the important thing. And sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. That's the secret of it. You know, you return love. Love is something that you exercise and then you get it back. It's a return for you. If you want to be loved, do some loving yourself. He that hath friends must be friendly. The scripture tells us that. And if you want love, express it. Bring it out to others. And it'll come back to you. God did the same thing. He observed the same principle. He lavished his love upon us when he gave his Son to die on that cross. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And here the love of God is given, is expressed, is lavished upon you and me. Has it touched their hearts? You know, I have heard of people in their private testimonies say, I could hear the fact that sinners are consigned to hell, and hell was preached to the point that I could almost smell the fire and the brimstone, or smell the brimstone, feel the fire. It never fazed me in the bit, a bit. And I heard a man say this. I heard hell preached. Now, I'll tell you, I'm not against preaching hell. It's a reality for those who will not have Christ, and it's eternal. There's no escape. Absolutely none. But that isn't what reached this man. His testimony, when I heard that God loved me, that broke me down. Broke me down to tears. And I just had to throw my arms around the one who took my place on that cross. Now, as a rule of life, I think it's only fair to turn to the 8th chapter of Romans. And beginning at verse 1 and verse 4, I want to tell you how we get this love and how it's developed in us. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are, which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. The Ten Commandments was a law that would bring death. For what the law could not do, what the Ten Commandments could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. There's nothing wrong with the Ten Commandments. They're perfect. Absolutely perfect. They come from the hand of God. There's nothing wrong with the Ten Commandments, but there's something wrong with the material that the Ten Commandments has to work with. That's what Paul's talking about. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Here is the power, the Spirit of God, and the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-sufferingness, gentleness, goodness. The Spirit is the one that sheds the love of God abroad in our hearts. According to the 5th chapter of Romans, God has shed, the Spirit of God sheds the love of God abroad in our hearts. He's the one that puts the love there. But it's spontaneous when we see that Christ died for us. This is a matter of law and grace, law versus grace. Now my focus is not on the Ten Commandments, but on the one who fulfilled them, the one who died for me. Our Father, we pray by the power of your Spirit that you will make this real to our hearts, that we might love the one who first loved us. We ask, giving thanks, in our Lord Jesus' name, amen.